Well, I pray you're doing well this morning. If you're not doing well, I pray that you will be better when you leave here today. I don't know how you could leave here today not feeling better than when you walked in the door. Amen? That was good stuff. And with all the chaos going around us, the news reports and social media blasts and all the other stuff that's going on, man, we need to hear some truth today. You know, we've been hearing about fake news for the last 8 years. You know, I'm tired of fake news. We need truth. So I'm going to declare you a Bible truth that is still very true today as it was the time it happened. Jesus is alive. Amen? Jesus is alive. You can stand on that. Nobody else, whatever else happens, you can stand on that and just let that winds come. Let those things hit you on the head and just say, you know what? I don't care. Jesus is alive and I can stand on that truth. Amen? The angels told Mary, he is not here. He is risen. Why are you looking here? Among the dead, he's not here, he's alive. You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul was dealing with that exact same thing. People began to kind of creep in and the churches to denying one of the most crucial cardinal truths in God's word, the resurrection. Some have begun to dismiss this truth and were teaching heresy, and Paul was trying to stop the spread of this heresy. You know, back then, gossip and rumor spread just as fast as it does today. We may be a little bit faster. We got social media. Something can happen at the grocery store, and the entire city of Port Acres knows about it 5 seconds later. So we might have a little bit edge on that, but it didn't take long for stuff like that to happen even back then. They'd get guys on a camel and say, hurry, quick, go to the next town and tell them. And so this heresy began to kind of spread in and to begin teaching this heresy. And Paul was trying to stop the spread. And so sadly today, I think even many Christians forget this truth. They teach your children about the resurrection, but by dying eggs and chocolate bunnies, and they forget about telling them that the grave is empty and that he is alive. He is no longer there. And that's the focus. Now, I'm all good for like eggs and candy because I like them, obviously. But one day of the year, it should be the day where we say at least once, you know what? Let's talk about the resurrection today, amen? It is all about the one who died for them, Jesus, the Christ, the resurrection. So I want to show you a few things that Paul had to say about the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, he starts off, he said, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not risen. He says, Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your preaching is in vain. Then your faith is also in vain. Yes, we would then be found false witnesses of God because we have testified that God raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not raised. If Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain. You are still in your sins. They also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. He jumps down to verse 30 and says, and why do we stand in the danger every hour? Last week, we talked about the first part of the gospel. And so often, preachers get stuck on the death part of the gospel every Sunday. Every Sunday, it's he cried on the cross, he died on the cross, he died on the cross, which is phenomenal. But they only teach one day a year about the resurrection, and the gospel is all combined. Paul preached Christ, him crucified, and nothing else, he said. He emphasized a full gospel. Paul preached the full, truthful, unchanged gospel. And 1 Corinthians 15, he tells exactly what that is, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel. The central theme of the life of believers should be Jesus died according to scriptures for our sin. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again to give us life. That should be the preaching of all preachers. That should be the main theme of every believer. Paul's preaching was the same. Peter preached the same message. The early churches preached the same message. Many people have given their lives for the message of the full gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Many men have tried to modify the truth and maybe call it a restored gospel or a reformed gospel, when actually any restored gospel or reformed gospel is not a gospel at all. In fact, Paul said this in Galatians chapter 1. He said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not a gospel. And there are some who trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. Although if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you and then one is preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any preaches any other gospel to you than the one you have received, let him be accursed. And the gospel that Paul preached was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We don't need to restore gospel. We need to revise it. We need to just accept it as it is, believe it, and then surrender to that truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It still is, and we need to make it the main thing in our lives today. But there's a problem then. And there's the same problem today that they had back then. People don't believe it. I'm not talking about those who are not in church, that we would expect that. People who don't go to church, say, I don't know about that resurrection. I've heard about Jesus, but I don't really know much about him. I'm talking about Bible-believing people in the church don't believe in the resurrection. You say, yes, we do. Well, sometimes people's lives don't show it. Anyway, if there's a resurrection, our lives ought to show it. We should be living like we truly believe there is a resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:5, Paul was dealing with this, and he says, and he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. They were seen by over 500 brothers at once, by whom the greater part remained to this present time, though some have passed away. Then he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen by me, also by one born at the wrong time. In the verse 11, therefore, whether it is I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Paul was clear and exact in his argument for the resurrection. He didn't just make a statement, but he backed it up with proof and reasoning. Paul said, don't take my word for it. Listen to these witnesses. First of all, there was Cephas, which is Peter. Peter was a witness and gave his life for that witness. Paul and Peter are really good friends. He was a leader among early churches, and his testimony was heard by thousands. Then there was the 12, the disciples, there in the room, and they saw him again a week later, and they saw him a few other times, and at the very end before his ascension, they saw him again. Then there was a place, 500 believers, 500 brethren. Jesus sent his disciples and those that followed him to Galilee to go ahead. He said, I'll meet you there. And he appeared to them, and there was 500 gathered there to hear him speak and see him, the resurrected Christ speaking to them. And then James, Jesus' brother, he became one of the pastors of the church of Jerusalem. Paul also spent some time with James, and he visited him. And then by Paul himself, who he's speaking to the church of Corinth right now. That's 510 people, so if you count them all one time. You count them like they saw him three times. That was each person saw him three or four, five, six times. But 510 people saw him resurrected. 500 people that those who are alive could still talk with those 510 people and say, hey, I heard about this resurrection. Did you see it? Yes, I saw it. 510 people out there spreading that word everywhere that he's alive. Think about this thought. How many people do we need to hear from to believe a false rumor about someone? One, right? We hear from one person, we're like, oh yeah, it must be true. I heard from that person. You can hear from one person and believe it, told the truth, but 10 people say, though it's not true, you'll believe that one person, right? 510 people, and people still don't believe the resurrected gospel. Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus. He saw the risen Savior. If you go to the gospel accounts, it actually lists off their names of who saw them. So you could go to them directly if they were still alive. And back then when he was writing this, they were still alive. You don't believe me? Go check out James. Go talk with Thomas. Go talk to Mary Magdalene. Go ask them, and they'll tell you. 15 separate appearances. He appeared in front of over 500 different people for over a period of over 400 days after his resurrection. He ate with them. He talked with them. He walked with them. He spoke with them. These were reputable names among the early believers that they could reach out to themselves. So the resurrection was a proven matter, not some fable. But the problem of unbelief was still in the church, and I think it's still a problem even today. I could read you this, and people will still say, I believe it. Yay, resurrection. But do you believe it? We should see it in your life. And here's the problem with the thought that Christ did not really have a physical resurrection. What happens then? And this is what Paul was talking about and we read a while ago. If Christ was not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, we would be found false witnesses of God because we have testified that God raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead did not rise. Verse 17, if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain. You are still in your sins. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. Paul got wind that there were some that were teaching that Christ had not risen, and so he was trying to deal with it. So he decides to try to do some stopgap, and he starts giving off this whole thing, and he starts off listing off all the people that saw him resurrected. But then he said, hey, if that's not enough for you, let's really think about this. Number one, our preaching would be in vain. I'm amazed at some of those liberal theologians who deny Christ and his truth from his word. In fact, any religion who teaches that Christ's resurrection was not enough to save the world, that they have to do something else on top of it, doesn't believe the word of God. And in fact, they're denying the resurrection. So, yeah, I believe in the resurrection, but it's not enough. I still have to do more things. Well, you don't believe in the death, the burial, or the resurrection then. I always think that if they don't believe what God's word says, why don't they go find their own religion? They try to kidnap Christianity and say, oh, yeah, we're Christians too. But they're not Christians. They're not followers of Christ. They're followers of some make-believe mythical figure that they made up with their own thoughts and opinions. The Christ of the Bible, the death, burial, resurrection, that's the Christ I believe in. That's what Christianity is. But if Christ did not come back from the dead, then my preaching this morning is vain. And why are we all here? I mean, some of us woke up early for sunrise service this morning, had breakfast over there. We got up and got dressed and took a shower. Why? What? Why are we even here? If Christ didn't raise from the dead, there's no point in us being here. We could all be sleeping in. Paul said that our preaching is in vain. Many religions put trust in vain things such as works, sacraments, ceremonies, and all these other things. Their faith is vain as well. But if Christ is not risen, then our own faith is also in vain. So we're preaching in vain, but then why are we even here? Our faith is in vain. What are we even putting our faith in? What are we believing in? If it's not the risen Christ, what are we believing in? I'm not one to say, hey, let's build a wooden statue and start worshiping this wooden statue. That wouldn't go for me. Our faith is in the shed blood of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that is what separates us from any other faith. And that is all we need to put our faith in. But not only that, Paul also said that we're liars. I mean, think about that. He said that we would be found false witnesses of God. We have been going on telling people about the resurrection, that Jesus the promised Messiah. But if he was still dead, then we're all liars. He wasn't the Messiah to start with. If Christ is not risen, the Bible is a lie and sharing its words in vain. So why do we even have this book? Why do we even read it? Paul said that if Christ is not risen and alive, we'll still be dead in our sins. Christ shed, removed the sins, but yet if he was still dead, we would have no life and we would also still be dead spiritually. There's no way we could come alive and go to heaven because we'd still be dead in our sins. Paul said that if Christ is not risen and alive, we'd still be dead and we'd be in bondage to death. Men who believe the gospel struggle to live for Christ every day, and it's not easy. In fact, it's almost impossible to do it on our own. Why would you try to live for Christ if he wasn't risen? Why would you struggle the struggle you make if he wasn't risen? Why would you go through the struggle it is to be a believer in this world today and stand up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, if he wasn't risen? That's a lot of, it's hard for us today, but think how it was back there for them. They were getting crucified and killed because of it. People in China and India right now and the Middle East are getting killed because of it. Paul also said that our baptism, which represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, is also in vain. We'd be baptizing them and we'd have to hold them underwater still. And just hold them there because he isn't resurrected. And so we're waiting until they're dead. Never mind. Right? Because the death, burial, and resurrection, the baptism and bringing them out of the water is symbolic of Christ rising. So there's no point in bringing them out of the water. Just keep them down there. He's still dead. So are you. These are the problems with the false teaching that brings about when we think about how could you mix a non-resurrection gospel with a resurrection gospel? You can't. So why are we doing it? Because of that, we have good reason to praise him. Because of his resurrection, we too can have life, eternal life. Look, Jesus will come soon. He'll come back for us. In a moment of the twinkling of an eye, he will change us from corruptible to incorruptible, immortal to mortal. Death will finally be defeated. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? We have victory over death because of Christ. He gave us that victory through his resurrection. And now we have hope. How do you know that you're part of that resurrection? How do you know that you have hope in Christ? Just because he did it and everybody gets again? No. He says you have to believe it. Put your trust in him. How do you do that? By faith. Faith means you believe what Jesus said and you place your full trust in him for who he is. Jesus says that before salvation, we were all sinners. He says the wages of sin is death. Or what we earn because of that is we deserve death. He says, he further says that he sent his love towards us that while we were still in our sin, he died for us. He paid for our sins because he loved you and he loved me. Then God tells us that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that he was raised from the dead, we will be saved. If we agree with all these things and we agree in what he has said about himself, agree about what he did for us, we trust those things, then it says that we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. That's what confession is. We speak this truth out and we say, I trust in you as Christ. If we call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved. That's what the Bible teaches us. Today, I wonder what would stop anyone from believing Christ and what he said. Why don't people deny him? Why would people not put their trust in him? Because they don't believe in the resurrection. And I think most people outside these walls don't believe in the resurrection because the church doesn't show that they believe in it. I mean, think about this. Hey, you got to give up all your sins in order to come to church. Okay, I think I'm cleaned up enough. Okay, come to our church next Sunday. And they come the next Sunday. I don't know. You're not wearing the right clothes. You're not cleaned up enough. Go back home and wear the right clothes next week. Okay, I think I'm in the right clothes. Great, come on in our church. Let's sing. Oh, you're not singing the songs with us. You don't know the song. You must not be saved in Jesus. You know, yeah, come back next week, learn those songs. Okay, I learn those songs next week. Okay, good. Now, I need to go forward and say some prayer and repeat after Jesus, and then we're going to baptize you. You didn't bring baptism clothes? Yeah, you come back next week. Okay, I'm ready for baptism. Okay, good. Now you're in church. Okay, you're doing great. Now you accept Jesus, you're saved. Great. Now here's a whole long list of rules you got to follow to keep it. Now, that's the basic gospel testimony that's given in most churches today. Now, think about that. And then when you get here, once you get, sing like this. Don't make people think that you're having any fun. Don't make people think that you're enjoying it. Don't raise that hand. I saw the hand raising. That was a little too much there. You were having a little bit too much fun. Don't do that. You mean I have to like feel like I don't have any joy? Yep, you have to come to church and pretend like you don't have any joy. Okay, I'll do that. Like, why would anyone want to join that church and be a part of that? But that's what we've been doing for hundreds of years in our churches today. Why? We don't want the world to truly know what the joy we have because we don't believe in the resurrection ourselves. Because if we believe in the resurrection, we'd be going, come on into church. It's awesome in here. Jesus is alive and he's risen indeed. Come on in every single Sunday. Have fun. I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care what you're acting. I don't care what sin you have. Come on in here. Let's just have some fun. Let's sing. You don't know the words? That's okay. I don't either. Let's sing. They're new songs to us. We don't know what we're doing. And just have a great time. High five and raise your hand. Pretend like you do. Just move your mouth. That'll be great. And high five. That would be awesome. What did he say? I don't know what he said. I'll forget next week anyway. It doesn't matter. We had a great time because Jesus is risen. That's all that matters. Like, why don't we do that? Like, isn't that more fun? Because we talk about the life of the resurrection of Jesus, and that's all that matters. If you walk out these doors, you don't know anything else happens. You go, but I know he was resurrected. Then I did my job. And that's where it should be every single Sunday. To you who have been given life to the believers today, do you believe, need to make a decision today about believing in something that is true? Do you need to make a decide in your life to live like there's actually a real resurrection in your life? Because sometimes I don't see it. Sometimes I just see grumpy, grumpy Jesus. And I don't want to see grumpy, grumpy Jesus because he's not the Jesus I love. So many believers live their life as they do not believe he is truly alive in them. If Christ be not risen, then all we're doing here is vain. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, he is risen, and not only is he risen, he also lives within you. A risen Savior, a risen God lives within you. He is risen. He is alive. Say it with me this morning. He is risen. He is alive. Let's praise him and worship him for the life he gives us because of the resurrection. Let's praise and worship him for the mercy tree that he died on and the life he has given through the resurrection. Let's all stand together. Let's pray and worship him together.